I'm not even sure how it starts. Oh, Holy Ghost, revival comes from thee. Does anybody know that first line of that? Search me, O God. That's what I've always depended on John to get the lyrics. Search me, O God. I'll try and sing that before we hand over to the pastor. What key are they? Search me, O God, and know my heart today. Try me, O Lord, and know my thoughts, I pray. See if there be some wicked way in me. From every sin and set me free. I praise thee, Lord, for cleansing me from sin. Fulfill thy word and make me pure within. Self and pride, I now surrender, Lord, in me.
Amen. That wonderful praise, God.
Oh, Holy Ghost, revival comes from thee. Send the revival, start the in me. Thy word declares thou wilt supply our need. For blessings thou, O Lord, I humbly plead.
Amen. I'm not very good at playing that, but I'm going to sing verse 3 again, and then we'll hand over to the pastor. And to make this your prayer this morning, Lord, take my life and make it wholly thine. Fill my poor heart with thy great love divine. Take all my will, my passion, self, and pride. I now surrender, Lord, in me. Amen. Praise God.
Lord, take my life and make it wholly thine. Fill my poor heart. Sing that last verse. Holy Ghost, revival comes from thee. Send the revival, start the work in me. Thy word declares,
I will supply.
Oh,
blessing now, O Lord, my home. Praise the Lord. The Lord bless each and every one this morning. I'm moving this because I don't need it. I don't want to be too loud. Probably I am too loud, but there's not much I can do about that. That's probably the way it was made. Praise God. You know, all will not know this, but I'm sure all you here can remember me saying what Bonbridge needs is a real blast. Somebody with a big loud speaker that shakes a few windies. And I did say that. And Ronald has the speaker out and he's gone at it and it's great. It's great. And I know there's a few complaints, but praise God. Keep at it, brother. It's great. It's great stuff. Praise God. It's great to see it. I'll tell you, and you know, one person, there might be complaints and all, but you don't know who's listening. One soul could get saved. And Dwight Moody was a soul that got saved. A woman hired a place, cleaned it, hired a preacher. And a wee ragged, long-haired boy came in and got saved. The only conversion, that was Dwight Moody. And if you've ever read about Dwight Moody, you know how God used that man. Mightily, mightily used to God and saw thousands and thousands saved. So, that's how the Lord works. Don't ever think it's too small for God to do it. Now, I want to say to you again, we need to get out of here. And I did say it a few weeks ago, Brother Laurie's confirmed again to me this morning, we need to leave here. We need to get out of here as quick as we can get. But we need somewhere to get to. So we need to be praying. Now, if I was a millionaire, which I'm not yet, but you wouldn't know, maybe God could make me a millionaire, I don't know. But I would get us somewhere. But pray about it. If you see somewhere you think might do, and some of you might think, we're all right here. Well, we're not. Now, I'm going to tell you a wee thing here. It's hard to preach. It might look easy preaching, and the pastor gets up and he preaches and all. And I'm preaching a long time, and John or Gary, any of these brothers, and you think maybe it's easy enough to get up and preach. But see, here on a Thursday night, I'm prepared and I'm ready. But there's bullocks in the back here working behind the scene. And I'll tell you, it's disturbing. Because I'm trying to keep my thought, what I'm preaching, and wanting the Holy Spirit to move. And then people wants to pray, maybe you're knocked off from praying because of the noise in the background. And the movement we are hiring off is not interested, because I'm going to tell you, if you don't know, they don't want us in here. They do not want us in this building. One or two of them might, but most of them don't. And then you have the other thing about it, if you haven't caught on already. See over the road there, the house of Dagon, that worship the fish god. They're against us being here. That's why they block that entrance as often as they could block it. And they didn't know anything about it. They've been telling us that. We're here years now, not months, and they still block it. They don't want us here. Because we're a witness here. That's one good thing, but I believe God wants us out of here. And I'm telling you, as brothers, we need to get out. So we need to be looking and praying. The prayers need to feed as well. So we need to be real serious about it. We missed a good opportunity that we didn't get that wee school out by the Corbett, out that road. We should have made a better effort and bought it. It was for nothing. Some people thought it maybe was dear, but it was not dear. It was cheap. Real cheap. When you consider the price of things now, it was cheap. But look, God, through prophecy, said, don't leave, build. That's a prophecy. Either it's of God or it's not. There's been other prophecies said, God's going to multiply us. It's either of God or it's not. There's been a word recently given saying God hasn't finished with us. He'll add till it. Either it's half God or it's not. Now you can either believe it's half God or it's not half God. If it's not half God, who's it half? So we have to believe the Lord to do it. And I want you to believe, and I want you to be encouraged. Now I know for there's a church sitting empty, but it mightn't suit everybody, it's refreshing. And it's empty. And actually somebody come to me about it, but it might be too far for some people. But I'll tell you one thing, I'd near take a notion and go to it on a Sunday night. Because we come here on Sunday nights and half our own people don't come. And we might as well go to try somewhere else. We used to do it. We used to go to different places and God moved. And Brother Terry could see it in one of their meetings. That was down at Cloney. We went there. We went a couple other places people could see it. Sister Lynn's grandmother came to the meeting the last time we went to her friend. Her mother. And I ended up going to her mother-in-law. But she had broke her leg or something. I don't know if any of you remember that. And I went to the house and got to pray with her and lead her to the Lord and everything. And there's another man, his wife was a believer, and he came to them meetings, and he's a man that wouldn't come to a meeting. So God has touched people before. But I think we're too stuck on maybe in the one place, and that's maybe not a good thing. God wants to move us a bit. But we need to pray about it. I don't want to go out on a whim either. And then if I get somewhere it might suit everybody, then that won't do either. So I want agreement, which is near impossible. Virtually impossible. But we need to get somewhere. Amen. So we need to really pray about it, really do pray about it, that God will get us somewhere. And that there was a place in Seal, for Seal and Guildford, but we didn't want to go for it because it's right beside Ken Davison's fellowship. And they didn't want to do that. And they didn't want to sell it to Ken Davison either because his church was too big and they said it would block the whole town up. And where Ken's meeting in his tent, he has to get out. They've given him the road from there. He has to get out. He's making too much noise, apparently. See, the devil hates the gospel. Ken's doing a good job. And God will prosper Ken. Now, Ken Davison went to Guildford. And I shared with Ken Davison a prophecy that a man gave many years ago when I was a child. That God would move in Guildford. And people thought it's absolute nonsense. How would God move in a place like Guildford? But I'll tell you what, he's a lot of people going. The devil never brought them. So God has moved in Guildford. So there it is, and you would never have thought it, but God thought it, didn't he? And that was a genuine prophecy given many years ago. Many, many years ago, I'd have been a wee fella when the man gave that prophecy, and that same man gave a prophecy concerning me. And I didn't even know that, and I had an advert on a garage one day, and that man was backslid to give that prophecy, seen the advert, and sent me a message. And I wanted him to come to the meetings and he didn't even come. But that man gave that before he was backslid when he was serving the Lord. But it's come to pass. God can bring everything else to pass. Praise God. Now this morning I want to try and go into the book of Hebrews. And I believe God's dealing with me with something really important. And I want to try and bring it out. And I have seen how far things have went. Especially around message churches. Some of them have reached a whole new level of apostasy. And there's actually some of them now are calling themselves Branhamites. And they're claiming that they do not need Jesus to be saved and all sorts of stuff. Now brothers and sisters, we do believe William Branham's a prophet of God. But we do not worship him. We don't pray to him. And we do not believe that anything takes authority or precedent over the Word of God. The Word of God is our foundation. And I want to try and bring that out. And I don't care if there's prophets and apostles and all that, and we believe in it. But if it's not according to the word of God, and especially if it's contrary, then there's a problem. There's a big problem. It's Antichrist spirit. If the Church of Rome is Antichrist because of what it is, any other movement, if it presents something in place of Jesus, it is Antichrist just as much. Now, I don't know why I'm saying that. I don't know. And I had a real strange dream years ago. I never could understand it for a long time. But maybe God's bringing it out. But I know we know these things, but I just wanted you to take you into the book of Hebrews. And it's a wonderful book. Let's read. Let's stand our feet and let's read. Let's read from the first verses of Hebrews. And I've never went into it. I've preached from it a lot because I love the book of Hebrews. And I believe this book was written by Paul the Apostle. And remember, Paul was a messenger of the first church age. And Paul is outstanding. He's head and shoulders above most. We'll agree with that. And he's a messenger from God. Then think of the thought that no other foundations to be laid than that which has already been laid by the apostles and prophets. That's your foundation for the Bible. And Paul wrote this wonderful book of Hebrews. Let's read the first three verses of Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 to 3. God at sundry times and in divers manners spake and times passed on to the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. Some translations say in his Son. Now I believe it's by him, but it's in him as well. Whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. We're just looking at three verses. Let's bow our heads. And if you have a need this morning, just lift your hand up and I'm going to pray for you. And look, I appreciate you praying for my children. Really appreciate it so much. I want you to keep praying for all my children. And I have two grandchildren now and another one coming. I can't believe it. But God's good. And I'm praying every day for your children. Heavenly Father, we're so grateful that you brought us out and you brought us in into Christ Jesus, the rock of our salvation. We're so grateful today. Lord, you know everything we have need of and desire. But Lord, we need you more than ever. Bring us closer to yourself. Bring the Holy Spirit nearer to us, in us, through us, in the midst of this very house. Grant to sanctify this place again, Lord, and may every spirit be subject to the Holy Spirit. Touch everyone in this room. Encourage and strengthen and bless your people. Lord, you see the hands raised. You know every single need. Whether it's financial, spiritual, physical, meet every single need, Lord Jesus. Provide for every one of us. Give us a place. Give us a place. Provide it. However it comes about, Lord, but we need your help for a place that can be sanctified, holy, set apart for your service and for your people. Lord God, grant it, I pray, in the name of Jesus Christ. Bless the hands that's raised and meet their needs. Give their hearts desires. Sanctify us. Wash us afresh in your blood. And I take the Holy Ghost right now. And I thank you for it. In Jesus' precious name. Bless all the children that's here. Save everyone. All of our families. Lord, in every one of them. Save them. Cover them with your blood. And for mothers, fathers, husbands, wives, aunts, or uncles. Maybe they're still not saved. We ask for the salvation of them all. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. The object of Hebrews is a set forth Christ. above angels. He's your creator. Indeed, above Moses. And Moses was a powerful prophet of God. But you see, above Abraham. And Abraham paid tithes to Melchizedek. All these wonderful men, which in the Old Testament are wonderful men, great men. But the book of Hebrews sets Jesus Christ above every single one of them. Christ, you know, when you look at the Levitical priesthood in the Old Testament, Christ did not come of that lineage. He never came of Aaron's lineage. He's of another lineage that they don't know about. And he's above them. Completely different order of the earthly tabernacle and priesthood. Sacrifices are done away with in Hebrews. Not a priest on earth, no more. But Christ, the great high priest, at the right hand of God in heaven, he is the one and only supreme high priest. Now we're made priests under, but we're talking about the one supreme high priest is the Lord Jesus Christ. So this book of Hebrews is to set out Jesus Christ. And I am not apologizing for that fact. I am praying, actually, that God will help me to preach Jesus more than ever before. To lift him, to magnify him, to show him higher than all. Because I am insulted, I am grieved, and the Holy Spirit grieved that men want to put men higher or in the place of the Lord Jesus Christ. Men, and no matter how good they are, they were born sinners. They never shed one drop of blood to save me or you. And if they had have shed their blood, it wouldn't have saved us. Because there was only one that could shed his blood, that could save his people, and that is the blood of Jesus Christ, which is God's blood. And there is life in that blood, token life, living life. And we're going to uplift him. And we're going to preach him. And we appreciate the gifts that do put the Lord up. And men like Wigglesworth, William Branham, all them wonderful men, them men themselves are not guilty of what others are doing with them. They did uplift Christ. They did preach Christ. So don't ever think we're against any of God's servants. We are not. We're all for them. But I'm sorry, Christ is in front of them all. He's higher than them all. They only were there because of him. And it was never the ministry of Wigglesworth or William Branham. It was a ministry of Jesus Christ in them. It was Christ in them. And may Christ be in us. Now, just this is really an introductory this morning. I don't know how far I'll get. I won't hold you too long. Hebrews 7:25 says, wherefore he is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, saying he ever liveth to make intercession for them. All earthly religion, therefore, is superseded. Even the Levitical priesthood and laws, it's all superseded when God came in his Son. Superseded it all. And when you come into this New Testament, you're in a new dispensation. You're no longer under the Old Testament laws and rituals and sacrifices. You were in a New Testament. Now, all them speak of the new. We know that. But I'm not getting into that today. I'm staying with this. I'm staying with that subject at hand. It's so easy to get off yonder here and there and wonder. I want to stay with this book of Hebrews. Since the Holy Spirit came at Pentecost, we worship God in spirit. Amen? That we don't need a ritual to come into God. The Holy Spirit has been sent. The Holy Spirit is our guide. He's our comforter. The Holy Spirit has come in the name of Jesus Christ to fill us, to empower us, that we will worship God so that we will produce the incense, the aroma that goes up as a sweet-smelling savor into the very nostrils of Almighty God, and God will be pleased. Philippians 3:3 says, "For we are the circumcision which worship God in spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh." And let me say this, that we are circumcised, it is a circumcision today of the heart by the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's not an earthly circumcision that we need today. I'm talking spiritually. It is a spiritual circumcision of the heart where the Holy Spirit fills us and we are circumcised. What are you talking about? The old things of the world are cut off from us. The things we don't need are cut from us. And we are new creatures in Christ Jesus. Hebrews 13:15 says, "By him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually." So our brother Gary mentioned it the other week. Sometimes we don't feel like praying or praising him. That's when we bring the sacrifice of praise onto the house of the Lord. Isn't that wonderful? Even when we don't feel like it, that is the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. Tomorrow morning I won't feel like getting up to go to work at the time I'm going, but I'll have to do it anyhow. And I'll tell you, sometimes we might not feel like it, but we need to do it. Amen. Believers therefore directed to the continual access to the throne by Christ's blood through the veil, that is his flesh, partaking as they do of a heavenly calling, belonging to a heavenly host. And though at present we're engaged in a pilgrimage, we are still seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. But we're in a pilgrimage. We know in this world we're in a pilgrimage. And I was blessed the other week when I saw that fellow running, how the last part of the race is the hardest part. But he did it when he did follow the instructions. And we have to clear our minds. And there's a lot of wee dogs barking here and they're barking over there. Bulls of Bashan and dogs compass Christ about. There's lots of things. And I think I'm old enough now to not worry about the nonsense. He's not in the message or she's not in it. That's all pure rubbish. I'm not interested about any of that no more. I'm in Christ. I am a Christian. None of them things move me anymore. Not interested in them. They'll not take me to heaven or keep me out of it or any of them things. They have no interest. All them decoys. And I tell you, if certain people don't want people because they don't praise and worship a man, that's fine. We're going to preach Jesus. That's our theme here. That needs to be our theme. Christ first and foremost. The purpose here in Hebrews then is to set before these believers' eyes Christ. Therefore the Son of God, the Son of Man, the great high priest from heaven, in heaven. And to cause them to constantly to occupy their thoughts and their worship with God, into whose presence Christ's blood has brought them. And it's Christ's blood that's brought us. No man's blood has brought us. Only the blood of Jesus Christ has brought us. And only the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Without the camp, within the veil, the blood of Jesus. Now that's my introduction. Now we're going to go to these verses. God in some dry times, divers manners and times past. See, we know he spoke to us by the prophets. Hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. God hath spoken to us, not after the former messages in the Old Testament prophets, but in a person. And that is the person of a Son who is now declared to be God. Jesus Christ is now declared to be God. He's not just a man or any person. He's God. He is Isaiah 9 verse 6. Now we'll read them scriptures in a moment, but I won't jump ahead of myself. I'm going to go with sticking with this. Who has declared God upholder, Lord, heir of all things. That's what Hebrews is telling us. He's upholder. He's heir of all things. The world is kept by him. It is maintained by God. He made it. He's the one that said, let there be light. He's the one that said, all things are made by him and for him, and without him was not anything that's made. He's the beginning, the creation of God. Now there's four gospels. There's four books of the Bible, and Christ is set forth for these records as God speaks to us in his Son. And Matthew, he walks before us as a king of Israel. That's your purple. And Mark as a savior, Jehovah. And Luke as the Son of Man. And John as the eternal Word. John 1 verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The only begotten Son, the Creator, God. Let me read you this quotation from the revelation of Jesus Christ. It's from the Church Age book. Now, this is the revelation. Jesus Christ is God. The Jehovah of the Old Testament is Jesus of the New. No matter how hard you try, you won't prove there are three gods. But it is also takes a revelation by the Holy Spirit to make you understand the truth that he is one. It takes a revelation to see that Jehovah of the Old Testament is Jesus of the New Testament. Satan crept into the church and blinded the people to this truth. And when they were blinded to it, it wasn't long until the Church of Rome stopped baptizing in the name of Jesus Christ and started the titles. Then all the Church of Rome's daughters, and she's many of them, they copied her. And they no longer baptized the way the apostles did it, the way the Bible teaches it, but they use titles instead of the name. But we're given the name, and we must do it in the name. Amen. The name of the Father, that's the Lord. The name of the Son, that's Jesus. And he's anointed Christ, the Holy Spirit. In the Old Testament, God spake by prophets. Now in the New Testament, God has spoken unto us. And the person of a Son, God was made manifest in the flesh. Now I know there's fivefold ministry, but I'm concentrating on the Lord Jesus here because I want to set something out that's badly lost. You say, brother, where would it be lost? Lots of places. They can't preach this here. And if they did preach it, they would have to repent. Do you realize there's many groups today need to repent? Because when you place something in front of Jesus Christ and worship it and lift it up and promote it more than Jesus Christ, that's blasphemy. They were warned in the Old Testament, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Now if a man says, we don't need Jesus to be saved, that's blasphemy, brothers and sisters. I'll tell you, that's a million miles away from the Bible. When the Bible says there is no other name given under heaven whereby man must be saved other than the name of Jesus Christ. You say, brother, you're in a defense, you'd better believe it. The heckles are up. And I'm going to preach the word of God and I'm going to declare Jesus Christ. And I don't know where this will be heard or not. And I'll may God grease my elbows. Bunky once told the boy to do it. For it needs done. For it's went too far. Amen. Jesus Christ must be preached. Isaiah 9 verse 6. I've already quoted it. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. I know there's people trying to tell us that a man in the last days is God and all these different things. I want to tell you, Jesus is the only God-man. The only was one. That's the words of the Prince of Preachers, C.H. Spurgeon, the God-man, Christ Jesus. 1 Timothy 3, verse 16, and without controversy, great is the mystery of Godfulness. God was in manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed in the world, and received up into glory. Jesus Christ was born without sin. He knew no sin. He had no sin. Here's the beauty of it. Here's the strength of your gospel. Here's the power of Christianity over Buddhism and Mohammedism. Here it is. Death had no claim on Jesus. Because he never sinned. He was born without sin. Every man is born in sin. Every man is shaped in iniquity. Jesus Christ was born without sin. He knew no sin. He had no sin. Death had no claim upon him. Amen. Death had a claim on Buddha and Muhammad and every single one. But this is the Lord Jesus Christ that took the sting out of death. He conquered death. He conquered hell. He conquered the grave. He rose triumphant on a foe. And now we can say death will have no more dominion over us because of what he done. Because of what Christ has done. God have spoken. Atheists and fools deny God's being. They're fools. Many people today ignore him, living their own selfish lives here on earth. When one day they will hear the words, depart from me. Depart from me. Those are words no man or woman ever wants to hear, depart from me. But we want to hear the words, well done, thy good and faithful servant, enter into the joys of the Lord. We don't want to hear, depart from me. But we want different words. Here in your soul shall live. That is the constant message of the scripture. The scripture in Hebrew 1 is all about the person and the place of God's Son. That's what it's about. The Holy Old Testament Revelation is compassed in simple words. Hebrews 1 verse 1. God who at some dry times in divers manners. That means in parts and parcels. God by a part. God by a bit. The prophets didn't have a full picture. How many knows what I'm preaching here? God didn't show them everything. But Jesus knew everything. There's a fellow said to me one day there was more miracles done in the 20th century than ever Jesus done. That's false. I'll tell you that right now. And I'll tell you two things about it. Number one, I've always done that Jesus done, the word wouldn't hold all the books. Number two, it was Jesus in the 20th century doing it again. Was no other man. Let's get that as a fact. It was God doing it again. William Branham said, I had nothing to do with it. I was only there when he came. That's his words. I believe that, what he said. And he was humble. But a lot of people's ruining it. They're totally ruining it. And we need to keep on the straight path. This, of course, refers to God's revelation of himself. In the Old Testament, especially the period following Abraham, Genesis 12 through to Malachi. Before the Son was sent. We remember that in 39 books of the Old Testament, their various parts are books, history, genealogy, religious, ordinance, spiritual experiences, prophecies, and God speak in various manners. Sometimes by the Spirit directly upon his servants, sometimes through angels, or even in a theophany form. In appearance as God. When he met Abraham, he is in a theophany form and he appeared to Abraham. He was that great Melchizedek. Himself as the angel Jehovah as to Abraham in Genesis. Let me read you Genesis 18 verse 1 and 13 to 14. And the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. Verse 13. And the Lord said unto Abraham, wherefore did words are aloft, saying, shall I of a surety bear a child, which am old? Verse 14, is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Verse 16, and the man rose from thence and looked towards Sodom, and Abraham went with them to bring them on their way. So God appeared to them in a form. Now, maybe we can't fully explain that, but it's true. There's enough for us to know it. What is there? God done it. Otherwise, he spoke sometimes, conferred divine wisdom, as Proverbs, as Ecclesiastes. Sometimes through putting his words into the mouth of his prophets. Sometimes through prophetic visions or in dreams in the night. Now we know God still can do that because we believe Acts 2:39, not just Acts 2:38, but what about 39? For the promise is unto you and to your children and to them that's as far off, even as many as our Lord our God should call. It was Peter that stood up and preached from the book of Joel. And it was Peter that said, upon my servants and my handmaids I'll pour out of my spirit, and your old men will dream dreams, and your young men will see visions. We know God can still do that. But we're trying to show that Jesus Christ, here in Hebrews, is set forth. This is superior to the Old Testament. Now, we always see how God moved in the Old Testament. It's wonderful. But Jesus Christ is even superior. William Branham preached a message, and he often said it, greater than Solomon is here. He says the Holy Spirit's here. Amen? And he came in his name. Hebrews 1 verse 2. Hath the least last day spoken unto us by a son. Now this, what I'm trying to tell you, this is superior. This is superior to all the rest. This is in his son. God has actually directly spoken. Now pause for a moment. Pause in that thought for a moment. I nail this down tight. That means your Bible is so important that this is the Word of God, the infallible, impregnable Word of the living God. You can't go against this book. And somebody can say they're full of the Spirit and bring out some rubbish that's contrary to this book. It's Antichrist. Don't care that can float around the room and hang in the stars. And I've actually seen people floating, and the devil made them do it, not the Holy Ghost. And people barking like dogs and laughing and all sorts of nonsense. I'll tell you, brothers and sisters, you don't read that in the book of Acts. I've never yet read the book of Acts. The Holy Ghost made people bark like dogs, laughing about and carrying on like someone that something's wrong. It's the power of God, the book of Acts, that raises the cripples and people from the dead and them things. That's the Holy Ghost. You could blow somebody down, make them fall on the ground, but are they changed when they get up? Now the Holy Ghost could make somebody fall. I believe that. But then what happens when they get up? And I tell you, I've seen it. I've seen for a man levitated. Brother Science, this pulpit, he levitated. And I was only not saved long serving the Lord. But I'm telling you, I prayed. I was afraid and I prayed. And the Lord spoke in me. And he said, you watch this. This man needs delivered, but nobody here will deliver him. But he will be delivered. He will be delivered. That's what God said to me. And he said, you watch. And they couldn't deliver him. And 2 days later, that same man came to the house where I was staying, and God delivered him. God delivered him. But he had got a demon. But they thought the Holy Ghost was making him do it. We need discernment, brothers and sisters. We need discernment. If a spirit comes and says things that God's going to do, that God's already done, that's not the Holy Ghost. Amen. This Bible's our absolute here this morning. That's what I'm really trying to tell you. This Bible's our absolute. I don't care how good any man is. We can never put another man's word, no matter how much they've been used or anointed, we can never, ever put any other man's word in front of this Bible.
Jeremy are absolute. And this Bible does not need to line up with our theology or somebody else's theology. But our teaching, our preaching, our theology, it must fall into line with the scripture. And it must dovetail from Genesis to Revelations. And it must fit like the glove fits to every finger. That's how the fivefold ministry must work with this Bible, fitted exactly. This Bible's our absolute. We should not be ashamed of that. There's no other book we can say is our absolute. It's this Bible. There's too much nonsense today with people's putting other stuff in front of the Bible. I'll tell you, you can't do it. You can if you want, but you're in for trouble. You're in for trouble. I know we believe that. You see, in the person of a son, whom he appointed heir of all things. Isn't it amazing that the infinite God would speak unto man? Man that came from the dust, from the ashes. That's us, man. And yet God would speak in man. Let me say that speaking at the end of those days through his son is superior to all others. I believe that. Do you believe that this morning? I tell you, God can do it. See, if you look at these words, did God speak unto us by his son? You say, Brother Tom, we know these things. That's good. I'm reminding you again. Because I'll tell you what, I've heard a lot of people saying they have had great revelations. And they're revelatory and they're revelated. Yet a lot of what they're believing is false. Do you realize if someone goes out far enough, it'll take souls to hell? Do you understand what I'm saying? It'll take souls to hell. Because if a message comes to a stage or a point and it organizes and promotes something to save you other than Jesus Christ and his blood, that is a message to take you straight to hell. There is no salvation in that message. There's no point blowing out our lungs and condemning the Church of Rome if there's other stuff which is just as bad. And we'll let it go by. We have to defend the faith. And we're not talking about Prince Charles' faith. Because he defends the wrong faiths. Whatever they are. Now we know that. May the Lord have mercy on him. That's my sincere prayer. Praise God. See, the great fact that Christ become incarnate, didn't he? God become incarnate in a man. God came in a man. God himself came. It wasn't just an angel or wasn't just a prophet. God himself actually came. This is the revelation of it all. God himself coming, condescending. Want you to think of the stoop that God took. That he lowered himself a little lower than the angels. And he took upon him the form of a man and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Let's look what John says here in John 1, verse 1 and 3. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by him. And without him wasn't anything made that was made. Now, not only were all things made by him, but you were made for him. God made you. God has a purpose for you. God has a plan for you. The devil today wants to tell people. One of my sons said to me the other day, you know, there's nothing for me. There's not this, not all negative stuff. But God has a plan for you, young man, young woman. God has a purpose for you. You were made by him and for him. And it's good thoughts for you. It's the devil times the different. That's why the suicide's so high today with young people. That's the devil. Now you'll have to agree with me this morning. Brothers, let's be honest with me this morning. You can give somebody all the wee sayings and quotations and all that there. That's wonderful. But it's only this Bible's got the real power in it. When they hear the gospel preached and demonstrated under the real power of God, it'll make the difference. It'll make the difference.
Now, you can go on the street with a picture of some other fella. But to me, what for? What would you do that for? It's Jesus Christ we're preaching. We can appreciate what God's done. We do. But we're preaching Jesus Christ. If we're going to claim we're going back to the book of Acts, we have to understand what Hebrews is saying, that Jesus Christ is the key here. He's the center figure. He's it all. God spake indeed through the Old Testament writers, but this was before God spoke unto us and his Son. It is God himself speaking here concerning his Son. And it's after the cross, after the resurrection, after the post-resurrection salutation to Christ. Look at Psalms 110 verse 4. The Lord hath sworn and will not repent. Thou art a priest forever. After order of Melchizedek. Here's the very thing I want to tell you. Some people are saying, now that we have a deeper understanding of Revelation and we've moved on and we don't just have it preached the way it was preached, that's a contradiction to this scripture. This priest we have is a priest forever. This ministry won't change. This is a priest forever. The gospel in Revelation is an everlasting gospel. How can you say there's another gospel or another way if it's an everlasting gospel? This is a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, which is of a superior priesthood, because we know it was God incarnate. The Son, heir of all things, addressed as God, Lord, Creator, upholder of all things, also indeed as Son of Man. For as a man, he's to be set forth over all things, even as a man. Hebrews 2 verse 9. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crown of glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. And here in Hebrews it is the Son set forth before us first. Look at verse 3 of Hebrews 1. Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and am holding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, finished the work. Now I'll tell you, there's a lot of people today and they're still working to get saved. What for? You cannot work to get saved. You are saved by grace through faith alone in Christ alone. You can take the worst person and if they believe it, they'll get saved there and then. And you can take the most holy religious person you can find and they're still lost. It's by grace alone and faith alone. Ephesians says it. For by grace through faith are you saved. What's the next bit? That not of yourselves. So you're not saved by works and you're not getting to heaven by works either. You're saved by the grace of God. And we're living what the best we can because we love him because he first loved us. The message here is it's God's message to us here in Hebrews. God's message. Now why am I saying it's God's message? This is not the message of a good prophet or an angel or some good man. This is God's message to us. John 1 verse 18. No man have seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he have declared him. He's made him known. He's declared God. Brother, what are you talking about? He declared God. When the blinded eyes was open, he declared God. When he turned the water into wine, he's declaring God. That's declaring God. Now, brother, you've lost it now. I haven't. The Son can do nothing of himself. But whatsoever the Father doeth, see, whatsoever the Son saith the Father do, so the Son does likewise. It's God in him. Doing it. Now, if it was God and Jesus Christ doing the work, how can we claim we can do anything without him? If it was God in Christ, we can do nothing without him. That's why the Bible says we can't do anything without him. But with him,
We can come into Philippians and say, I can do all things through Christ Jesus, which strengthens me. Amen. Do you believe that this morning? Maybe you're sitting thinking you can't do it. You can do it because the Lord's with you. Let me read you this from the Church Age book as well. Now, I have read it. It's the same thing I've read. Let me say this in Hebrews. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, that is God's message, His voice to us. Amen? Now there's a man, and he claims today that God's voice is only in one place. Now I'm not mentioning no names, no. You know who I'm talking about. And it's put in one place and one thing, and that's it. Period. That's the end of it. That's wrong. I'll tell you why it's wrong. Absolutely wrong. That's God in a box. Straight away in the box. Put him in the box. Now you know, I told you before, in the jail they took the Bible out. I had no Bible, I had no minister, but God spoke to me. I didn't have a tape of any man. God spoke to me. I believe God spoke to you when you got saved. Why? Because my Bible says, no man can come unto me except my Father draweth him. No man can know him, save to him who the Son. The Son will reveal him. That's Jesus Christ. God can speak to the wee fella on the far side in Africa. A wee fella that people might think nothing about. God can speak to him. God can go over anywhere he wants, but here's the thing about it. God's not even depending on any recording. Are you with me? God's not depending on a recording or anything. God can do it because God's a spirit. God's a spirit. And God's spirit cannot be contained in a wee box. Unlimited to this is the only way. I'll tell you, brothers and sisters, that's wrong. Now there's no question about it. On them tapes, it is good. We believe that. But that's not what we're dealing with. We're dealing with God talking. He's talking in His Son. Amen. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believed in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. 1 John 5:12, he that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son hath not life. There comes for everyone who has believed in the Lord Jesus Christ a moment when he hears. When he hears. When God speaks to his heart with the Holy Spirit, every person is saved. God has spoken to us by His Son or in His Son. I'm going to close. I can't believe it's half past 12 already, and I said it's not too long this morning and I haven't even got started. I'm reading one verse and I'll make myself close. But we'll come back tonight. Now I know a lot of you know these things, but it's good we're reminded of them. Amen. John 6:65, and he said, therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given him of my Father. No man can come unto me. So when you make a statement or a preacher makes a statement, you're chosen of God. That's a fact. That is a fact. Because no man can come unto me except my Father draws him. So you were ordained by God Himself. Think of that. Just as God spoke of His Son, God ordained you. Ever before you were born, ever before you knew anything about it, you were predestined. You were foreordained by Almighty God. You were ordained. You were chosen in Him. Before the foundation of the world, you were chosen. And God's Holy Spirit moved on you. And you came. You mightn't have listened to any tape, but you still came. You mightn't have read any particular book, but he's still brought to you. Is that the truth?
Amen.
That's absolutely the truth. We cannot say, if you don't do it this particular way, then God can't talk to you. God has spoken in his Son. When Jesus Christ went back to heaven, the Holy Spirit was sent in his name. And the Holy Spirit can be anywhere. Anywhere he wants. And you cannot contain the Holy Spirit in some wee doctrinal thing and say, well, that's it. It don't work like that. God can take the down and right. The down and right, I'm going to say, ugly. All of us were ugly in the sense of our sin. We were black as pitch in our hearts. But God saved us, didn't he? Because he loves us. Let's stand our feet this morning. Praise God. Heavenly Father, we just thank you and praise you for your mercy, for your grace, for your love, for your truth you showed toward each and every one of us. Father, we appreciate your Son this morning. It's only because of your Son, Christ Jesus, we're here. Went the whole way to the cross, bled and died on the cross, shed his precious blood to save our souls. Father, I pray you'll bless your people, strengthen them, encourage them. Give us discernment in these last days. Help us, I pray. Bless the remainder of the service. And as I was tired tonight, help us tonight. Bring the unsaved in. Lord, I know it's difficult, but we're asking for your help. In everything, we acknowledge you in all our ways. In Jesus' precious name. God bless you. There's Brother Gary comes. God bless you.
We'll just sing a chorus or two before we close in prayer. He is Lord, he is Lord, he is risen from the dead, and he is Lord. Every knee shall bow, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord.